You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Welcome to Desperate. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
And we've just finished the first season together.
I can't believe it. 23 episodes.
23 whole episodes.
Yes.
And I can't believe I had the attention span for that.
Yeah, anymore, I know, me actually. Too.
I was like, we had to recap all these storylines. And I'm like, where the hell are we? By the end, we didn't forget that Mary Alice Young died because, like, they brought it all back at the final episode. But yeah. Certainly at points, I forgot. It's like, why are we doing this again?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's happening,
like,
here.
I don't really care. Like, who even cares who Dana is at this point?
Yeah. I was like, Dana.
Yeah.
But our death count at the end of the season was 3.
It's honestly kind of low.
Well, 4. Okay, so we had Mary Alice Young, Mrs. Martha Huber, Juanita Solis, and then Rex Vandekamp.
Oh, yeah. We do have 4.
I guess we should say, if you haven't been watching and haven't been listening, if you're somehow tuning into this here,
yeah,
there's going to be lots of spoilers,
yeah, all
for
spoilers.
Season 1 because it's the recap.
Yeah, so. This is the recap.
Yes. We are not watching an episode today. We are just having some fun and talking about different parts of the show that we are particularly interested in.
Yeah.
We think that they're fun. I mean, we had a good time watching. There were lots of laughs, lots of revelations. Because Jordan
and some tears.
Yeah, I did cry 3 times maybe.
This show actually makes me tear up a lot.
I cry.
It's weird.
I mean, we can start there. When did you cry?
I mean, it feels like fucking 1,000 years ago, but when Lynette like has her drug addiction. Like, and that scene in the park with her, Brie, and Susan.
Yeah, I cried. That was my first time crying.
That was a big
cry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mary Alice. I didn't cry when you committed suicide in the first 2 minutes.
Well, we didn't even know her. Like, who cares?
She was feeling, her voice was so chipper, too, in the opening monologue that you're like, how can I be sad?
Yeah.
You seem kind of, like, stoked about it.
Yeah, you're, like, happy to go.
Yeah, I cried during the episode Guilty. That was my first cry.
Mm-hmm.
My second cry, I think, was when Mrs. McCluskey, it's the Love is in the Air episode, and Mrs. McCluskey, we find out that she has a son that passed away.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a monologue. Well, she talks to the boys about her son and
yeah.
how he would have been, like, rambunctious like them, mm-hmm. and, like, that made me cry. And then the third time, mostly because it was situational and it's going through something similar, was when Terry Hatcher has a monologue that, I would be honest, doesn't slap if you're not, like, in the mood. But it's she has a monologue about how Mike is the one. And she's talking to her mom, Sophie.
Yeah.
She's like, you have lots of one, and Mike was the one. And, like, I'm grieving and you're not being nice. And I got all serious.
She's like, you're trying to set me up with Lamont, and I'm not interested. Please. Like, she's basically, like, throwing a Hail Mary to get her mom to back the fuck up with the peppermint schnapps.
All right. Lamont is the type of guy that would reveal on the date that he has a kid.
Lamont, definitely. No, at least 2 kids. Not 1. 2 different baby mamas.
I went on a date last night, and I told Jordan all about it. And this guy told me, we had talked for, like, a week, and he told me on the date that he had a kid. And I think Lamont is the same. Oh, also, Jordan, I didn't tell you this when I recapped the whole date. The baby mama of the guy that I went on the date with has another baby with a different baby daddy.
That's rough.
Within the last 2 years. So the 2-year-old is the older one. And then, like,
she had another baby in between? Mm-hmm. What the?
I'd be a stepmommy to 2.
That's complicated.
But Lamont's that type of guy, so that's...
Like, yeah, that's definitely...
I cried over
the
Lamont
category.
I cried over Lamont. Yes, so there were some tears shed. But, yeah, we made it through. That was our last episode, episode 23, the finale. It didn't get as high of marks because it was kind of filler. And as we wrapped that up, we said that we'd come at you next time in between, because mm-hmm. we aren't gonna record season 2 for a couple weeks to a month.
Yeah.
So we'll have this episode. We can start off with something we've been doing all season. Mm-hmm. It's the housewife and hubby of the week rubric.
Yeah. So we never actually came up with like a, like a system. We just kind of were like, I like this person this week.
It was a gut feeling, mm-hmm. but I came up with a list of questions to ask ourselves mm-hmm. in order to determine who really deserves this.
Yeah.
And the first one is, did they make a sacrifice for someone else's wants or needs? And not their own. So did they go outside themselves? So I'm sorry, Edie probably can never have it. Like, Edie's pretty selfish.
Yeah, I don't see. And Gabby.
Yeah. So that's one criteria. Mm-hmm. That's not the only one, because if nobody did that in the episode, which is totally possible, did they tell a lie and get away with it?
Oh, so then Gabby would just
Gabby
win.
Could get it every time.
Yeah, at this point.
Yes. These are, we could pick and choose for these questions, mm-hmm. but this would be our reasoning where they check that box. They got 5 of 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
If that's not what we're going off of, did they do something illegal and get away with it?
Okay.
So again, Carlos
could get it. No, but again, Gabby. Yeah.
Carlos could get it for a few episodes until he gets caught with a birth control.
Yeah.
Did they have an intense / heartwarming monologue?
So Susan.
And Lynette.
Those two, they monologue a lot.
Yeah. Did they connect with a child?
Interesting.
Mike and Zach, they had a moment. Mm-hmm. Julie and Susan have a lot of moments.
Yeah.
And so that, and like Rex and Andrew and Bree and Andrew have had some moments. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Because
they forget that Danielle is a character.
Yeah. They.
She gets shoved to the side quite a bit.
We'll get back to Danielle. Yeah. I have some opinions on Danielle. Did they do a heroic act?
Okay.
And then the last one, did they accept a diverse perspective?
That's which, a good one.
I don't know that any of them have this season.
No.
Well, no, because Bree never really accepted that Andrew was gay.
No, she didn't.
So, but Rex did. So Rex could get that category.
Yeah, I guess Rex would get it.
So
yeah.
I think every episode we can pick one of these.
Yeah.
And like say they did a heroic act.
Yeah. If like anyone fell into that category.
Those are the questions. I feel like we might add a few more, but that's basically our reasoning for why they would get Housewife or Hubby of the Week.
I think that's a great rubric. I think season 2, we're going to come at you with better reasoning now for why we give people.
Yeah, we'll say the heroic act category or diverse perspective category.
Yeah.
I think it'll be categorical. So that's something you guys have maybe been waiting for. Mm-hmm. It's here.
Yeah.
If you have anything that we should add, let us know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Another thing that Jordan's losing her mind about is something I looked up in my spare time.
Yeah.
It was the height of all the actors that I felt were important.
I'm genuinely shook by these heights because, well, I guess we can deep dive into them and then I'll explain why I'm shocked.
You can do one and I can do one. So you can start.
Okay. So the first one's going to be Susan or Terry Hatcher. She's only 5'6", and the reason why this shocks me, that scene where she's, like, naked and carries the potted plant, her legs look insanely long to me.
They're just really thin.
Maybe, I guess, yeah, she's so skinny, I guess she just looks taller, but she's shorter than me. I'm having a hard time with this.
Are you itchy? Are you 5'7"?
I'm 5'6" and 3/4".
Oh my goodness.
I'm basically 5'7".
She's basically your height.
Yeah, but that's weird. It's weird to, I guess I just, to me, like, I feel like I should look up a little bit. Like, she just seems so, she seems tall.
Because she's so skinny. When you're skinny like that, people think you look tall.
I guess. That has to be it. Because they're all stick thin.
I thought she was 5'5", for sure. I thought really? She was 5. I thought she was shorter.
Really?
Yeah, because 5'5 is, like, an average height. But that brings us to Felicity Huffman, 5'5". Lynette Scavo.
Again, another one that surprises me. I think because she has such a big personality, she seems like a
killer.
She has
a huge personality. And honestly, she looks kind of built sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I see her arms and I'm like, she's hitting the gym.
Oh, yeah.
She's lifting 20s.
Yeah.
For sure. And then you can read the next one.
This one actually is a shocker to me. Marsha Cross.
This blew my mind.
Yeah, Brie. She's 5'10".
She's tall.
Now
as
I
shit.
Need to feel like I feel like I need to watch the whole season again because I'm like, I don't remember her being that much fucking taller than Lynette.
She's taller than George when they're walking out of mini golf. I noticed.
But she wears heels a lot. Is she but like is she really 5 inches taller than Lynette? Like, that's crazy.
I guess. I didn't even think of it that way. I was like, 5 inches taller.
Now I'm like, I almost want to, like, Google a picture of all of them because I can't, my brain is, like,
one really of them's wearing, like, lifts.
Yeah. No, but, like, Brie wears heels a lot, too. So, like, I don't know. I guess that's just really fucking tall.
She's tall, but also another tall babe on the cast is Mary Alice Young, who's 6 foot.
That one doesn't surprise
but
me.
But we
she looks
called
tall.
That because I said in, like, that last episode, we see a lot of scenes with her and Deidre, and I was like, one of them is really tall or one of them is really short, and it was Mary Alice Young.
I mean, I'm looking at photos right now. I guess the heights make sense. I don't know. It's just weird. But, yeah, Mary Alice being 6 foot is pretty, she's a tall lady. But you can tell. You can kind of tell because she's, like, not stick
she's
thin
like
the rest
look,
of them.
She has, like, I don't know how to say this. She has a tall face. Like,
she just has, like, a very, like, she reminds me, like, her body type reminds me of Mariska Hargitay.
Yes. Yes.
Like, she's not, like, fat or anything, but she's not, like, stick thin like the rest of the ladies. Yeah. So, like, she doesn't, like, she just has a normal body, I guess, is what I'm saying. She has, like,
she's
a very
an
normal,
average woman. Yeah. She looks very tall. She looks healthy. Yeah. Unlike these other women.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I need to see her and Gabby stand next to each other.
Yeah.
Because 5'2 is pretty small.
Yeah, Gabby is 5'2, but is if you guys recall from episode 1, she used to be a runway model.
Nope.
Nobody's ever hired a 5'2 runway model.
You can't even be a Disney princess at that height. Like, you really think you're going to be a runway model at that height?
How tall do you have to be a princess?
5'6".
Oh, shit. Really? Yeah. Okay.
They're strict. It's 5'6 to 5'8 because they don't, it's like, you have to fit the costume. The costume isn't made to fit you.
We worked at Disney World.
Yeah.
And those costumes are disgusting. They recycle gross. Them. They never make new ones. They just keep them forever. And that's why you have to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
So Paul Young, a.k.a. Mark Moses, is 6'1". So he was an inch taller. I didn't see that. I thought he was kind of a short guy.
I'm really surprised that he's
6'1". I got 5'7 vibes from him.
I got like 5'10 vibes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like if I came across his dating profile, I'd be like, if he put the sweater picture on there.
The sweater picture?
And then it would be like 5'7". No. And I would be like, maybe. I'd be like, is he hot enough? 5'7".
Oh my God.
Or it would say 5'8".
Yeah. Yeah. He'd round up.
5'9" maybe. And he's like, you get to the date and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. And then Mike being 6 foot. Mike seems taller to me.
Yeah. 6 foot is like not that tall.
But again, maybe it's because I thought Terry Hatcher was taller. So my brain thought he was also taller.
I thought they were both taller.
Yeah.
I gave her, okay. I mean, no, because I said I thought she was 5'5", so 6 foot would make sense for him to me because there would be...
That's a solid...
A solid difference.
Yeah. And then Edie being 5'7", she gives me taller vibes too, but again, she's very thin.
She's not like busty. I didn't realize how thin she was at 5'. Like, because I thought she was taller, which would mean that she was like pretty thin for her height.
Yeah.
5'7 is my height. She's just got big boobs.
Yeah, she does have bigger boobs. She has a very, something that I've noticed about, like, her name is Nicolette Sheridan. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks like what was hot in the early 90s.
She looks like a Pam Anderson wannabe.
Yeah, like, she looks like someone who would be in a Playboy magazine in 1991.
Yes, absolutely.
That's because, like, the way, I don't know how to, just, like, it's
just
weird.
Just her body type, her makeup, her bleach, her, like, because she's not naturally, I don't, maybe she is naturally blonde, but she doesn't look it.
And that, like, weird, like, the tan, freckled tan that she has. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting.
So, Martha Hewer, Edie's best friend, is 5'3".
That I buy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that one adds up. She's probably 5'6 with that hairdo.
Yeah, she's...
that fucking wild ass hair.
You ever just see a guy and his hair makes him like so tall?
Yeah.
You're like, ugh. And then I just looked it up because I didn't have it on my list. Stephen Culp, aka Rex Vandecamp, is 5'11".
That makes sense. They're about the same height. I noticed that actually watching that they're about the same height. Yeah. But I didn't realize she was so tall. I thought maybe he was just a short guy, and like shorter guy.
Stephen Culp is looking pretty hot still. I'm seeing like a recent picture of him.
What do you mean still? Do you think he's hot?
I don't think he's hot in the first, like, okay, but like, let me show you. Like, he's got like old man, like,
no, class. No,
the glasses.
What are you talking about? Hot. He has like a 7 head.
But the gray hair is like working for him.
What?
The gray hair is working for him.
Are we looking at the same photo?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, I'm yes.
The big one. Yeah, I think the gray hair is working.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, man. I don't know about that one.
We might have to cut this out, but like, doesn't he kind of look like Zach?
He does kind of look like Zach. That's weird, actually. He does.
You might have to cut that out, but...
Huh.
You're
weird.
He fucking does. They look the same.
They do look the same.
So, that's that on that. He's 5'11". Dang. So, okay. I have a fun... We can maybe do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many predictions I have. It's season 2 predictions.
Okay, I'm excited.
So, Rex just died. Obviously, Bree's going to date. There's going to be several episodes of her dating.
Okay.
People.
Okay.
George is going to come back with a vengeance. She's going to find out that he poisoned her late husband at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more of Andrew being gay.
Okay.
And since Rex was chill about the LGBTQ and he's no longer around, it's going to be a nightmare.
Okay.
I think that there will be Danielle and John vibes at some point. Not good vibes, just it's going to come back around somehow.
Interesting. Okay.
Carlos, this is tough. He's either going to be out of jail when we start the season, or like still in jail when we start the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are the only two.
Well, okay. I'm like, so, like, two options.
Interesting, like, detective work there, Julia.
Yeah, I don't have a justification for how dumb that was. But,
oh my God.
I'm just saying there's going to be an episode, and it's either going to be episode 1 or like episode 5 where he like gets out of jail, and it's going to be a thing. Like, Gabby is obviously going to have her baby. And I can't guess John's erratic behavior at this point, but I could see him only lasting halfway through season 2.
Okay.
I could see John like dipping, like they send him away, like he goes to college somewhere else. Like I could really see that for him because Carlos kills him.
Okay, interesting.
That would be cool, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think more likely he like goes away.
Okay.
And okay, that's kind of like those two households, I think. And then for Lynette and Tom, they discussed Lynette going back to work. I think it's not going to be as easy for her. That's going to be a lot of story. Like, it's difficult and, like, work shit. Drama at the office.
Okay.
Maybe she... I don't see it. I was going to say maybe she has another office romance. Like, there's flirtation, but I doubt that. Oh, that would be lit if she gets harassed at work. And we have to, like,
that would be lit.
It wouldn't be, like, lit, but, like, it would be a lit subject for Desperate Housewives to bring up.
Yeah.
So, harassment in the workplace? I don't know.
Okay. Susan?
Yeah, I guess I don't really have any other predictions for Lynette. Like, Tom's gonna struggle. Like, maybe Annabelle comes back around.
Okay.
Maybe we learn more what his secret was that never gets addressed.
What do you think his secret is?
he likes BDSM.
They bring that back. They do
it's
that again.
Just like every season, like every husband, that's every their husband thing. Is into BDSM.
Yeah.
No, I think his secret is basically that he cheated on her.
Okay.
Not that exciting, but I think that's what it is. They're just being dramatic. Also, her Gabby storyline, I was rewatching episodes. I hope that girl, the neighbor girl that from episode 2, I hope she comes back.
I'm going to tell you this right now. She does not.
What the fuck was that about?
I don't know.
It's a whole storyline like about this chick. It's like not even a big deal. So, yeah, Lynette, maybe they get another nanny. A hot nanny, and it's like an issue. Susan and Mike. Whoa, okay, that's actually going to be the most interesting one. Paul and Zach. I feel like they're going to come back to town. Well, this is tough. Paul, like, Zach's holding them at gunpoint. I think Mike gets shot again.
Okay.
I think they're going to get engaged, maybe, if he survives, Mike and Susan.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be some more Julie and Zach because he did bring her up in the last episode. He's like, even Julie lies to me. And Susan's like, for the thousandth time, she's not into you.
Yeah.
She never talks about it. She doesn't give a fuck. Like, so I think that might happen. If he doesn't go to jail for like shooting somebody in his household. So Zach will be committed. Paul might come back briefly, but I think Paul's about to dip. I think Paul and Zach are done after this.
Mm-hmm.
And that weird family, the son, Matthew, there's about to be some lit storylines with him because he was hot and Edie was like, Matthew.
Oh, God.
But they obviously have a secret. I hope that they address diversity in some way because that family was African-American, so I hope that will be a topic, but I don't necessarily have predictions for what their big secret is, but there wasn't a dad present. I do have to say that. So I think the dad's going to come back around somehow.
Okay.
I think that I didn't see a dad. I didn't see a husband, but maybe he was there, but Edie's going to figure out something with them and it's going to be Edie centric.
Okay. You think it's going to be Edie focused? Got it.
Yeah, and then Felicia, I guess, is in the hospital. I think Felicia could kick the bucket. We wouldn't care.
Yeah, she's kind of an interesting character.
She drove the storyline of Zach and them, but she's done now. Like, if Zach and Paul are gone, what is Felicia there for? And we already forgot about Mrs. Huber. She died, like, episode 7.
Yeah, she died a long time ago, actually. It's weird.
She didn't last that long. So those are my predictions.
Okay.
Did I miss anyone? I mean, Julie will have some growing pains. Carl will come back around. He was in the end of the episode.
This is so interesting because some of your predictions are so spot on and some of them are so off base. Like, you're going to be shook. I'm like, oh, damn.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Now, I mean, we should save that till the end. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
So,
okay. So now that you've, like, watched the whole season and you have your predictions,
mm-hmm.
How, like, just from what you've seen, I mean, obviously, because that's all you know,
mm-hmm.
How would you rank the 4 main housewives?
My ranking.
Or I guess 5. You can count Edie.
Okay. I think I had a hard-on for Brie for a long time.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I was like, Brie is, like, misunderstood. Sadly, and I never thought I would say this, I have to put Susan first.
Okay.
I think that she's erratic as hell.
She does have that chihuahua energy.
I think she is, like, all over the place, but she goes with her emotions. And I like that she follows her emotions. She's not afraid to be crazy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And just be open. Like, I feel like she's been really open with Mike the whole time about how she's felt.
Yeah.
Like, she's never been, like, lying to him, really.
Yeah, no.
She withheld a little bit in the beginning, but after it was unleashed, it was unleashed.
Yeah.
I think she tries her best to be a good mom. And she's lucky she only has Julie.
Yeah.
Because Julie is the coolest kid ever. But yeah. She has good mom moments when she stands up for her. And she's like, Zach, get the fuck out. Like, she doesn't like you. Susan's, like, my number one right now.
Okay.
I would have to say Brie is a close second. I think Brie lost her standing as number one as the season progressed. Because at first I felt that she was misunderstood. Mm-hmm. I like that she dated George. I like that she took back some of her independence after Rex really fucked her over.
Yeah.
But at the end, it really ruined it for me when she nearly let her husband die.
Yeah. I have thoughts on that, but I'll wait till you're... we'll circle back when I...
That, there's like a couple things for me that I'm like, Brie, like, you're kind of the worst sometimes. But overall, I like her. So second, it's Susan, then Brie. I have to put Gabby third, even though she committed statutory rape, which was a heinous crime. She is...
You're like literally a heinous crime. Like you just watched SVU. I know.
It's a heinous crime. She got fucked over by Carlos. She did not want to have kids. She knows who she is. She knows that she's selfish. She owns it. I like that about her.
Yeah.
She, there were a couple episodes where she was really top notch for me, where she got a job, where she figures out how to survive on her own. She takes care of herself. She's really self-reliant. Mm-hmm. So besides fucking John Roland, which became okay when he turned 18 for me.
Yeah.
I think she's number three. And Lynette is at the bottom because if you guys have been listening, you know why. I feel like it's so fucked up that she messed with her husband's job and made him lose his job and then literally has no remorse about it. Mm-hmm. And is extremely jealous and does a terrible ploy to like ruin, not ruin, not a terrible ploy. I don't know how to explain it. When she invites Annabelle over and it's like tacky. She has a tacky dinner party with just Annabelle. Like everything about Lynette, halfway through the season, I was like, fuck Lynette all the time. Like, I hate her.
Yeah.
So she's number four. Actually, I'll put Edie number four. Lynette can have number five. Okay. I like Edie. Edie can actually get number three. Susan, Brie, Edie, Gabby, Lynette.
Okay.
Edie is cool and chill. I have no problems with her. She's sexually open and I like it. She can be number three.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay. Interesting.
What about you?
I'm going to rank. So it's hard because I know obviously how the show goes on. So I'm going to try really hard to rank just by the first season. First season alone, I'm going to agree. I'm going to put Susan at number one just because I think she's the most relatable. And I've said this throughout, like, the season. I think that the issues she runs into are just the most relatable for us because we're not married and, like, just, like, the trials of, like, dating and, like, chasing, like, this man that, like, it seems is out of her grasp for so long.
People like Lamont.
like Lamont. But I don't know. And I just think, like, she's very earnest. Like, I like that about her. And that's kind of what you were saying. Like, she's just very open and honest about who she is and, like, yeah, she's clumsy and got that Chihuahua energy, but she's true to herself.
Yeah.
And I do like that about her. Number two, I'm going to put Edie. I think Edie stirs the pot. She adds a lot of fun. And I also think she's very insightful. Like, anytime she kind of has one-on-one moments with the housewives, like, I think that she has a lot of good, interesting things to say.
Yeah.
Three. This is a toss-up for me because Brie, Gabby, and Lynette all pissed me off very much throughout the season. I guess for number three, I'll put Brie because I think she was more a victim throughout, whereas Gabby and Lynette caused a lot of their own issues.
Yeah, Gabby and Lynette were constantly running from the issues they created for themselves.
So at least Brie's like fucking up, but it's not all her fault. Like George is like poisoning her husband. Like, it's not like she's hanging out. Like, she doesn't know that.
And Brie tried to forgive him time and again. Tried to forgive Rex time and again.
I think for me with Brie, like, I get that they've been married a long time. And she, like, I don't know. I just feel like she was so intense about, like, taking him down after she found out about Maisie Gibbons. And then, like, three episodes later was, like, easily swooped back into his arms. And I'm like, why? He was so nasty to her for, like, the first 10 episodes. I could not, like, that, like, character change to me just didn't work because it was, like, so, and then, like, the last few episodes with George, I'm like, is she stupid? Like, is she stupid? Even if she doesn't know that he's, like, doing bad shit, he is clearly in love with her. And so it's, like, are you, like, why are you doing this
if you're trying to fix your marriage? Yeah, we can't know how evil they are. Like, I feel like I've been friends with guys that I kind of know are, like, into me.
Yeah, but she's, like, married. But I also she's so don't focused on, but she's so focused on fixing her marriage and, like, being with her. I'm, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, but also I was single, so I was, like, yeah, we can be friends. Like, I wasn't, like, married, like, yeah, like, kid or something. Like,
and I think Rex just, like, flip-flops so much throughout the season that he does make it hard for her. But yeah, it's one of those things where I just felt like they didn't really know what direction they wanted to go in. And then all of a sudden they're like, so they just kept going back and forth. And then I obviously didn't like how she handled Andrew. I think she's kind of a bad mom.
I think she's trying her best the way that she knows how. But she is not the mom that Andrew needs, you could say.
But she's not trying to be like, she's not personalizing her approach to motherhood based on who her children are. She's being a mom based on like what a 1950s sitcom would expect of a mother.
Yeah, but I think that's her thing. Like, that's, I mean, what she, I'm saying, but like, she nailed it. Like, she's trying her best the way she knows how. Like, she's not the mom that Andrew needs, but like,
but she's not like, it's like that episode where she realizes she doesn't know Andrew. It's like, yeah, because you've been so focused on cultivating an image that you like didn't try to actually understand your children.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Breeze 3. 4. I'm going to have to give 4 to Lynette. And I'm going to have to put Gabby at number 5. Because Lynette and Gabby, to me, both did some really fucked up shit. But
you think Gabby was worse than Lynette?
Yeah, because I think her intentions were worse.
They were more fun.
But they were more to hurt people, like, like purely who? To hurt. She purely wanted to hurt Carlos. Whereas, yeah, whereas like Lynette, Carlos
literally fucked with her birth control. I don't care.
But Tom, she didn't know didn't that when she was having the affair. The affair was on retaliation for the birth control.
The affair, yeah, but the affair was an affair, and I don't care that she had an affair.
I mean, it's not the affair itself. It's the affair with a 16-year-old.
Okay, the heinous crime.
Who all of a sudden is 18 by the end of the season, even though no one else has aged 2 years.
Okay, I noticed, like, watching the pilot, Julia, like, seems really young. And then the next episode, she, like, seems kind of old.
That's because pilots are typically shot a year before.
Yeah, so I was like, dang, she grew a lot.
Yeah, she probably hit puberty in there.
Yeah.
I guess for me, what Lynette does with Tom's job is obviously horrible and not cool at all. But I think, it, like, this is, like, her desperate... Like, I feel like each housewife has, like, a desperate act throughout the season.
Yeah.
And that's her desperate act, is to, like, try and keep her family together. Like, she already feels so overwhelmed and unhappy. And, like, to be fair, like, Tom is not even trying to be present. Like, he has these little moments throughout the season where he does, like, the sombrero thing and, like...
I saw that, yeah.
And he does the thing where he wears, like, the...
Yeah, but the last 6 episodes is just him sucking.
And he's nasty. Yeah, he's awful.
He's literally the worst for, like, the last, like, quarter of the season.
So I think, like, while Lynette acts a little nuts, I empathize better with her. Gabby, for me, there's episodes that I really love her. But then there's episodes where she's, like, truly horrible. Like, her handling of John and his emotions are really fucked up. And she knows he's in love with her. He makes that very clear. So she's just toying with him. And then with Carlos, it's like, okay, I get that you're unhappy and, like, he is just, like, buying you stuff, but that does not condone. I just don't think it, like
fucking your yard boy who's in high school.
Yeah, I just don't really know what she expects from him. And, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a, I'm not a Gabby
okay,
fan.
Okay, so it's Susan, Edie.
Susan, Edie, Brie, Lynette, Gabby.
Okay.
But just to... That list wildly changes as the seasons go on. So that's why, like, when I say it's based on the first season, this is for our fans that have seen the whole series that are going to fucking burn me at the stake because they know I've seen the whole show. I'm basing it on the first season.
Oh, dang. Okay. Well, I have a follow-up question. Who's the person you would want to be stuck with in an emergency?
Gabby.
Why?
I think she thinks on her feet the best. Definitely not Susan.
Okay. Not Susan. No.
Lynette would just be a bitch.
Aggressive. I haven't given mine yet.
Sorry.
You're like, in this person.
I would pick Gabby.
I think I would actually pick Rex because he's a medical doctor.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about the husbands. I think I'd still stick with Gabby.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, I was thinking Bree. I think that she would hold it together.
I don't know, man.
I'd be at the Vandekamp household. I think they would handle an emergency well.
I think with Bree, she has, like, I don't know. I just think Gabby thinks on her feet really well. She's resourceful.
She does. I say that every episode. I'm like, she thought on her feet.
But she like pulled herself up from her bootstraps. Like, she's a very capable human.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need Carlos. And I think that's like important to, I think like it gets forgotten throughout the season, but she really doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, she gets a job. She kicks ass. She does what she has to do. That scene where she's doing the makeup of her old housekeeper yeah. is, like, peak of that. So I know I ranked her my lowest, but I would want her on my team in a crisis.
Yeah, I only asked. I had a teacher in high school that was, like, she told me that when she goes into, like, sometimes that's a thought she would have, like, in a room. She's mm-hmm. like, if an emergency were to happen right now, like, who would I want, like, to be with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's kind of smart, though. I'm like, I should be thinking about that all the time.
I think we could safely say, though, that Susan would not be... She's going to be the fucking last person yeah. you want in a crisis. Like, she's... That chihuahua energy? Yeah. Hell no.
I'd be the Rex. He's a medical doctor.
Or Julie. Better. I guess Julie I'd pick yeah. maybe, too. She's 13, but she's smart.
Okay. I also have a follow-up to my predictions. The least likely to last all 8 seasons. John, I already said he's gonna be gone. He's not gonna last. Danielle, nobody cares. We fucking forgot about her already. Danielle's not gonna be around. I think Andrew will last. I think okay. Zach will be gone. He's already committing crimes. Or he'll be gone and come back. Like, he'll make some appearances. Justin, that's tough to say. Because I think him and Andrew are gonna have a prolonged storyline.
Okay.
But I think Justin will be in and out.
Okay.
I think the 4 main housewives will last. All of them.
Okay.
Edie, I'm not sure. Paul, no. He's not coming back. Well, he's going to come back, but he's not going to last.
Okay.
Carl will make appearances, will not last.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anybody else supporting. Mike, no.
You don't think Mike's going to last?
No.
Okay.
Julie, I actually don't think it's going to last. I think she's going to dip. Preston, Parker, all the boys, like, no, because we can't even keep track of them now.
Party, Parker,
I don't know. Preston. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know their names, but they're not going to last. Like, I can't even keep, like, why did she have so many kids? Like, so no, they're not going to last. Those are my who's going to last predictions specifically.
Okay. This is like, oh my god, I can't wait for us to watch the whole damn series so we could look back on this. Oh man, do you want to talk about outfits?
Yes. So Edie at the barbecue was wearing like sunglasses,
that
like
crazy pink outfit,
pink number.
Yeah,
that was like my favorite outfit. Like, I have a picture of it on my phone somewhere. Like, I was like, oh my god, Fit Inspo Friday.
Yeah.
Like, and then so Edie has a lot of these, I think, for me. Edie, when she calls out Brie on emotional cheating, is wearing, like, a skirt suit, an all-pink skirt suit. Pink really works on Edie.
Is it the... Yeah, okay. Doesn't she wear, like, a peach kind of colored one, too?
Yeah, she has a couple skirt suits I like that one. Are really working for her.
And they're pretty short, which I always is interesting
they're
to me.
They're always hot. I should add, when she went to Saddle Ranch with her cowboy hat... Respect it. That was a good Edie.
That was actually
too.
My number one.
That was your number one?
Yeah, I love that outfit.
That's up there. For Edie gets top 3.
Okay.
Edie and everything. I'd say Brie and lingerie is up there for me,
that's
too.
My number two.
Yeah, that's a moment. I was trying to think of other ones. Susan literally has no good fashion moments in my mind.
No, none of the children do, and Susan never does.
No, yeah, they're actually all in my worst outfits. Yeah, no. So I did say Lynette looks good showing up to Tom's work anytime.
Yeah, but then the rest of the season
she looks like shit.
She's in, no, she's every, like, every, okay, the first 10 episodes, I swear to God, she's in flip-flops, jeans, a pearl necklace, and a button-up shirt.
No, she does that throughout the entire series.
It's insane.
Oh, her and her maid outfit, I guess I could put that on the best. But it's like a costume, so it doesn't count. Even when she goes to Bree's dinner on episode 3, no, she's like not looking that good still.
Okay, her hair was weird, but that dress I loved.
Yeah, she has
it's like that backless white dress. That's cute.
Oh, never mind. I forgot about the dress. Yeah, so the backless white dress.
I like that.
Lynette and that, we can put that in the best dress. I forgot about that.
And then Edie's dress at the charity fashion show.
Thinking about that. Edie did look hot there. I said Gabby looked pretty good at the funeral, actually, episode 1.
Yeah, she did.
She's looking spicy. Mm-hmm. Gabby's outfits don't ever really do it for me.
No, the first season in general really does struggle from just the fashion sense of 2004 in general.
She wears a lot of, the tops without the strapless tops, mm-hmm. which is in, again.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, it's just not doing it. And she has, bad hair moments all the time with her bangs and, that Gabby had bangs and we were like, she has bangs.
We were both shook by that. That was, the first thing we noticed.
Yeah, those are, my top. Lynette's looking hot at the work. She's looking hot in that backless dress. She has in the maid's dress. Gabby doesn't have any top. What are your top outfits, your favorites?
So mine were...
And the pearl necklace when Brie goes out to dinner.
Oh, yeah.
With George.
But her hair is kind of weird in that episode.
As a whole, I don't know that we posted the pic on our Instagram. Yeah. It wasn't slicked back.
It's not slicked back. Cute. It's teased or something in the front.
Yeah, well, that's my top. But what are yours?
I liked Edie at the fashion show. Like I said, I think her dress was the only good one. And it was a fucking fashion show, so that says a lot. And then, like I said, Brie's lingerie. Edie's peach suit, I really liked. She was you wouldn't think that peach would work on her, but it does. Because she's blonde and that weird 80s tan she has.
It is a bad tan. I guess that's what it is about Edie. I'm like, she could be hotter if she was more natural, maybe.
Yeah. The Brie at the motel. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that jumped out that was, positive.
It was pretty tragic.
Honestly, there weren't a lot of best dress moments.
No. There weren't a lot of bad dress moments.
Everything was, kind of bad.
I mean, to follow up, we have worst outfits.
Yeah, that's a lot easier.
I said Danielle wearing a polo all the time.
Worst. And her hair was awful. Oh,
Danielle, no. Danielle was tragedy in its finest form.
All the kids looked awful all the time. Andrew had popped collars half the season. Julie's wearing, six shirts all, you know that weird thing that we used to do where you'd wear, a shirt and maybe two undershirts and you'd stretch them down.
I would stretch the tank top, under my butt.
Yes, you stretch it as far as possible. So it's, I would just wear a skirt over your jeans at that point. I don't even know. It was awful.
Yes.
They bought all their clothes from Abercrombie and, just
Julie was too tight. Everything was too all the tight. Time, and she still found a boyfriend.
And then Zach literally wearing a polo tucked in at all times into khakis.
Okay, and John wearing a striped polo all the time. John wore polo.
John straight up dressed like a 6-year-old. He looked like a 6-year-old on his first day of kindergarten every fucking episode.
It was his jeans too.
It was awful. His
jeans were too long or something.
I think it was one of those things where he looked older. He looked too old, so they tried to dress him down too young. And I'm just sitting there Gabby would never go for some kid in a fucking striped polo.
Because that bitch was 25.
Yeah, because he's old as
fuck. He got cast, he was 25.
He was old as fuck.
And also, I'm just thinking, he's the type of guy. You see him on Hinge and his pictures are, grainy as fuck.
Yeah.
He has clearly, zoomed in. And he's wearing the striped polo with the baggy pants. And sunglasses.
And, there's someone's arm, but he's, clearly cropped, them out of the photo.
And he's, in a location.
Yeah. No, he always looked awful.
John looked bad. I guess best dressed Carlos because he's always in a nice fitted suit. No, I don't fucking know.
Are they
Carlos
fitted?
And Tom, they're just always in a suit. So I'm like, whatever. Yeah, Tom, I guess, wore a sombrero at one
for
point.
For the men. Yeah, Rex is in a suit a lot too. These guys are wearing suits. Wait, in 2004, I never saw anybody in a suit. Like,
I don't understand.
Nobody wore, in 2004, nobody wore a suit to work.
Why would he even wear a suit? He's a doctor.
I don't know why he's wearing suits. He's got to be wearing scrubs. They got it all wrong.
He's a surgeon.
I'd be concerned if my doctor showed up in a suit.
Yeah, is the tie going to, like, fall into, like, are you the body that he's, like, working
an
on?
An attorney? Yeah. To, like, try my, like, malpractice.
And Carlos, Carlos and Tom were just, like, I mean, we later, I guess Tom works in advertising, but we never, like, Carlos, I guess, is just a businessman. Like, we never really know. That's like entrepreneur. Like, we never really know what he's doing until we find out that he got money from slave labor.
I don't know what he does.
I have no idea.
Imports, exports.
And guess what? We never really find out what he does.
That's okay. I can live without it. I said the worst, another worst outfit. Susan on her first date with Mike.
What'd she wear?
The dress, the, like, pleather dress that she walked across the street in.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. And her hair is, like, piled on her head.
It's, like, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. They're having a lunch date, and, like, she walks across. She's like, hey, Edie, I'm going, that dress. It was terrible.
That was awful.
She's wearing, like, chandelier earrings.
It's the biggest earrings of all time. And everyone is wearing low-rise jeans in this show.
No, the low-rise jeans, that was a crime.
It was awful.
Criminal.
I don't care how skinny you are. I don't want to see it. I don't like low-rise jeans. It doesn't look good. It just makes your torso look weirdly long.
Surprised we didn't see butt cracks.
Yeah, because Susan...
They looked uncomfortable all the time. Nobody's comfortable in low-rise jeans.
Yeah.
You never once sat down with a straight back because you had to be slouching to keep your butt crack from falling out. Like, they were all uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Another one I had was Susan's dress to follow up her first date dress, the dress of the fashion show.
We do have a fan out there
that likes the
that
dress.
Loves that dress.
And I appreciate you.
And I, you know what? Respect.
I respect. It's not as bad, like, as we make it sound. Like,
I think it's just because they make it seem like it's the most beautiful dress of all time. Like, when she, it's like a big reveal when she walks out in that dress. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is, like, very disappointing.
And all the people coming up to her in the scene, they're like, you look great. You look great. And I'm like, they're gaslighting us about how great it is. It's just an average dress.
Well, and, like, they act like Edie's dress is, like, slutty or whatever. I'm like, no, Edie's dress holds up. Hers is the only one that holds up.
None of those were good.
No.
Halston is sold at, like, Nordstrom Rack. Like,
awful.
Guys, like.
And then I noticed in our notes you put all the workout.
I said any workout outfit.
And I'm gonna start with Gabby in the very first
the juicy couture sweatpants.
God, so many velour tracksuits cropped with a tank top underneath for some reason.
There were a couple. When she stole the porta potty, she was working out in a velour sweatsuit. When she runs into John, she's in flared sweatsuit situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gabby repeats this again and again.
This crime.
It's a crime.
This is the biggest crime she committed on the season. Yeah. And this is, that's saying a lot.
And then I also have to point out Edie. When she worked out and Susan is confronting her about dating Bill, is his name.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, can I go on a date with Bill? Edie's in the middle of a workout and she's wearing the most disgusting workout outfit. Like, it's pretty
bad.
She
wears a lot of halter top style workout clothes.
It just didn't look good because, like, Edie has a banging body, but that outfit just wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, your boobs look good. But the rest of it, I'm just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So any workout outfit for me, those are really like my top four. Danielle, Susan twice for two dresses and any workout outfit.
Yeah.
And John, of course.
I'm going to have to say John in his striped shirt. He had one in particular that really upset me. It was like this weird burnt orange with white stripes.
He looks like fucking Arthur or something.
Yes,
like.
He does actually. He looks like he belongs on a PBS show.
Yeah, he does. With the accentuated eyebrows. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. No. Honestly, I think we covered all my most tragic outfits at this point.
And I just want to point out one of my favorite locations as I rewatch Topsy Turvy.
The fucking strip club.
Yeah.
I just have to we need to take a moment.
And, like, that Andrew came home with matches, like, from of all the things. From
Topsy-Turvy.
That's so random.
Yeah, so never forget.
Shout out to Topsy-Turvy.
If there is a Topsy-Turvy, I kind of want
to
go.
I know, but we need to find a strip club called Topsy-Turvy.
So, that's for me.
If we ever open a Desperate Housewives pop-up bar, it's going to be called Topsy-Turvy.
It's just strippers. There's like old women like telling you the story of the stripper in front of you.
Yeah. And then, okay, I had a question. What do you think, like, who do you think had the healthiest relationship on the show? And this is saying a lot because they're all pretty bad. But if you had to like, okay, I guess a better question is prediction wise, like, what couples do you think are going to make it through the show?
I mean, I think Lynette and Tom will.
Okay.
But I, at first, thought they had the healthiest. By the end, I was just like... And I mean, actually, I still think they have the healthiest, even though I think Lynette's fucked up in so many ways.
But I think Tom is, too.
Yeah, but I think they have the healthiest so they can communicate.
Like, they fight a lot, but they fight, like...
They fight, like, logical people.
Yeah. Like, so they make progress with this.
I actually would say if I had to, like, say one, I think Tom and Lynette have the healthiest, actually, as much as shit as I... talk on her.
I would agree.
I think the couples that will make it, well, Rex is gone, so
definitely gonna, not bringing
Rex. I think Carlos and Gabby will.
Okay.
I don't know what that looks like. Maybe they'll have some time apart and then they'll get back together. Like, I could see that. What and Tom will for sure make it. I think Susan and Mike will make it.
You just said earlier, though, you said that Mike wasn't going to make it through season.
I think Susan and Mike will make it as a relationship. I think Mike will make it past season one to a degree. I don't know how far.
Okay.
I don't see him in it forever. I feel like Susan and him will make it, but she's never going to get over the loss of him.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Everybody but Bree and Rex, I guess. And then Susan, I think, could have another, maybe, relationship. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think Carlos and Gabby will always have problems. But I think that they'll make it. I think one of them or both of them will keep cheating, though.
Interesting. Wow. I just, like, can't wait for you to watch more.
I can't wait either, because now I need to know if I'm correct. But yeah. So, okay, should we do, like, the kids ranking?
Yeah. Ranking the children. I mean, Julie's number one.
Yeah.
Always and forever. I love her. She's the best, and they make that very clear. But then all the rest of the kids are, like, psychotic. So it's like, oh, my God. I'm going to have to put all of Lynette's children at the bottom.
Nah.
No, Andrew, because he's...
Okay.
Maybe Danielle. Dang, this is actually harder than I thought. What's your ranking? Okay, so I'm going to have to put... Okay, Julie number one. And then I'm going to put... Lynette's like the son that's not the twins.
Yeah.
Parker? I don't know. Yeah, Parker. I like him because he's like... He's sweet. He's like her sweet child that just gets dragged into shit by the twins.
Is he? I don't even know them at all.
Yeah, no. Parker's like sweet. And then I would put Andrew because he spices things up. And then Zach because he's crazy. Because he's like low-key, like, I think having a nervous breakdown. Because he's like throwing shit. And he like beat Felicia Tillman almost to death. And that's still, but I'm still going to put him above Danielle because Danielle's just nothing. Like she's doing nothing. And then those damn fucking twins, I'm going to put at the end because they piss me off so much.
Okay. I respect it. Julie's number one for me. I'll put John. I think he's a kid.
Oh God.
I put John and Justin.
Okay.
Andrew. I love how horrible Andrew is. I love how maniacal he is, mischievous.
I know you're like you were like in love with him when he
obsessed with that monologue. Like,
yeah, I know
I was into it.
I'm concerned now.
I know
I need to screen all your dates going forward because this is very concerning.
I've had some Julie, John, and Justin as a pair
mm-hmm.
since they live together and they're adults, I guess.
I love how they awkwardly, like, put him and John as living together and then had him dating Andrew. Like, it's like, what the...
Weird. So, Andrew's my number three, if we're putting John and Justin together. Because I like how mischievous he is. I'd put all of Lynette's kids after that as a grouping at number four.
Okay.
And then I'd put Danielle above Zach.
Okay.
Because I think Zach is the worst. So Zach's the bottom of the list at number six.
And he's like quiet evil in a weird way.
Yeah, I'd put like Gabby's baby actually at six. Zach could have seven.
Like, I'm putting unborn children.
Unborn child.
Like, you're like, I'm going to put Penny, that baby with no personality.
All of her. I mean, she can get grouped in with all the boys. Okay. Like, I think Zach's the worst because multiple people have tried to help him at this point.
Also, Edie just has a kid that for some reason Martha Huber watched once, and then we never hear about that kid again.
Never hear about that kid again, like, as we go forward.
Ever.
Okay. I'm concerned, yeah. So, Edie's kid, he can have number seven. Zach can have number eight.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, I don't know. I kind of wanted to see... This one, we don't have to go, like, we don't have to, like, make a ranking or anything. But are there any, like, storylines that pop out to you that you really enjoyed?
The addicted to meth, baby meth, addicted to Adderall.
Yeah.
Lynette being addicted to Adderall was, like, my top. And that was memorable for some people because when we started this podcast, I remember talking to some friends about it. And they were like, oh, my God, that show is so good. They cover like really good topics actually, like,
yeah,
you know, parents abusing their child's ADD medication. And then that was like the top storyline. And I was like, oh my God, this is memorable for people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes, that's my favorite storyline, I'd have to say.
Okay.
It goes by faster than I thought it would too. I thought she'd be addicted for the whole season.
I think Lynette simultaneously had one of the worst and best storylines because she had the nanny storyline, which was the worst, like when she tries to pick up the nanny. Like,
you think that was the worst one?
I think that was like the most like filler, pointless, and like awkwardly written. Because, you know, the show is not written like that. Like the rest of the show is not treated like that.
Yeah.
So it felt very out of place.
Yeah, it was maybe like very punny and like...
goofy. It was just goofy. Because, like, the show, I feel like, usually balances the comedy and drama really well. And that was, like, trying to be funny, but it was trying too hard. And we were, like, disgusted by it. Like, we were, like, ruined the episode.
That low.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. That one or, like, the girl with the bike that never comes back.
Yeah, that too.
Those are my two worst. But what was your favorite storyline?
So I like the Lynette on drugs one as well. But I like it because I love just, like, the imagery with, like, Mary Alice and, like...
It's very artsy, a very art house film.
And again, it also doesn't really fit the style of the show in a weird way.
Yeah, and for some reason it didn't win an Emmy. I have an issue with that. It was a good episode.
But she won an Emmy, so Felicity Huffman's the only one of the housewives to win an Emmy.
Yeah.
Again, why Terry Hatcher hates them all. But, yeah, she won for the pilot episode, actually. Which I thought was kind of random.
Kind of crazy.
But she won. She was the only one to ever win. Because all of them were nominated except for Eva Longoria for the first season. And she even said, she's like, I'm not offended. I'm still, like, this was, like, her first big acting gig. She's like, I haven't, like.
I have to say it's because she's Hispanic. But
probably.
Honestly.
But she was just, like, trying to be, I think, in an industry where you kind of have to be grateful. Like, she was just trying to, like.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain.
But she went on to get nominated later. And she, like. Like, she would go on to win, like, People's Choice Awards and stuff.
Yeah.
Because she was, like, the fan favorite. And what sucks is, like, I like the drug addiction storyline because I think we really get to see how good of an actress, like, Felicity Huffman is.
Yeah.
Like, she definitely has more range than the other characters. And then I liked the storyline of Rex and Maisie Gibbons. I thought it was, like...
It was interesting.
It was really interesting. I think it was really, like... For its time, like, kind of insane that they were showing that on TV, like, BDSM. Like, that was a very new thing to just have on a show, like, a primetime show like that.
It was.
So I really like that storyline because it's just, it's so, I don't know, it is crazy. Like, it's wild when you're watching it.
I mean, I do like the statutory rape situation, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate and love it, but it was interesting.
Yeah, no. And I definitely enjoyed that plot line. I'm trying to think of like ones I didn't really connect with.
I think you said it, the nanny one. That was really like the worst to me.
That was like the standout.
That was the only one that I hated with my whole heart.
Yeah, the only other one.
Maybe like the lice one for Lynette, where her kids get lice.
They gave her a lot of shit stories. They just didn't know what to do, I feel like, with her.
Yeah.
For 23 episodes.
They're like,
there's only so many ways you could say like she's overwhelmed.
She doesn't have substance.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, should we kind of like recap our Apple ratings to like round everything out as we're coming to a close here?
Yeah, absolutely. So for our Apple ratings, I did kind of go back and like write down, or not write down, typed out like what we,
you're like,
no, I write.
You're like, I did an analysis.
Yeah. So our lowest rated episode was the pilot.
Which shocked both of us.
Yeah.
Because we actually really liked the pilot.
I think we undersold it. And I think we expected ourselves to be maybe harder on the episodes going forward. Because that is the only episode with a 3-star rating that you gave.
I can't believe I gave it 3.
I gave it a 3.5. You gave it a 3. Wild.
Okay.
The only other episode that had both of us give it like in the 3 range was episode 9. So that
the nanny episode, probably.
I think it was. Let me like double check. Okay. We'll cut this part out.
You're like, let me just see.
Okay. Okay. So episode 9. That is the nanny poaching. Yeah. And I think that's definitely why we gave it a lower rating. So you gave it 3.5. I gave it 3.75. But that's also the one where they like try to figure out how to handle Andrew after he like is so like acting like a sociopath after he hit Juanita. So like that had some good stuff in it.
But like that nanny thing just put it down so far.
Yeah, but that episode also was the fashion show episode.
I don't regret it at all.
I don't regret it either.
Stupid. And like, what is a charity fashion show still?
We still don't know what it is. However, that is the episode where like Susan confronts Gabby about like John.
Yeah.
So I did like that part of it. So there was like some good stuff. I think it
deservedly 3.5.
It was an uneven episode.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to see if there's any other that were like low like that. Those were really the only ones where we were both not vibing. Episode 8 is the first
5-star.
That was the first 5-star.
I will never forget that episode of television.
That is forever going. The scene where Mike and Susan have sex and it keeps cutting between that and Paul killing Martha.
That's not an episode 8 though. Isn't that episode 7? Yes, it seven?
Is. No, that's episode, that's
and guilty. Lynette has her. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. That's why I got 5 then.
So in that episode, Bree, that's like where they handle the drunk driving situation by covering up the crime. So fucked up. John tells Gabby that he confessed their affair to a priest. Susan and Mike hook up finally.
It was just all on point. Yeah.
They learn that Martha Huber was the blackmailer. And then Lynette reaches the breaking point of her addiction. So it was like a lot of great stuff happened in that episode.
Yeah, that's a 5-star.
Yeah, for sure. And but there's like the scene though where it's like Mike and Susan, he's like grabbing her hand and pushing it up. And then like it cuts to Paul doing. No, but it cuts it. We see their hands, it like zooms in on their hands, and then all of a sudden it zooms out and it's Paul like holding Martha's hand down as he's fucking strangling her ass and bashing her head in. I was like, that juxtaposition really made me feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah, there were like major cuts.
Yeah.
Like
that was crazy.
So that was our 5-star.
And then our other episode that we both gave 5 stars to was episode 20. That was the only one. You gave a 5-star episode one other one, but those were the only two that we both gave it. Episode 20 was the one where Carlos has his farewell party for his government-sponsored vacation.
Yeah.
So that's the one where, like, George kind of comes back into the picture. Edie kind of wraps up Susan's
house explodes.
Yeah, Susan's house explodes.
That was one of the reasons I gave it 5. Mike gets the shit beat out of him by the other cop. Those storylines did it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gabby finds out about the birth control. Mm-hmm. And she finds out she's pregnant at the Maserati dealership. Is that when Annabelle comes back into the picture? Or... they weren't even at the party, barely.
I think that is the episode where we meet Annabelle.
So, yes. So and Tom has, like, a crazy monologue that episode, I think. So, there was a lot.
Yeah. And then the other episode that got a 5 was the next episode you also gave a 5 to.
I gave a lot of 5s. I was feeling generous.
That was it, though. Because I gave a 4.75, so I was close. And it was that's the episode where Edie sees Bree and George having dinner and then, like, gives her that monologue.
Yeah.
Lynette does, like, the sexy maid thing. And then Susan finds out the truth about Mike finally because she, like, talks to Kendra. Kendra comes back. Yeah. Another reason to like that episode.
Love Kendra.
And then Carlos just straight up blames his mom for the birth control pill situation. And then Gabby, for some reason, tells John.
Just everything was, like, coming full circle in that episode. And I was like...
But that episode was cute, too, because it opened with Sophie and Morty getting back together, which was just, like, a very sweet... Awesome. I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
So that was a good episode. But, yeah. And then... For the most part, we were always a little off with our ratings from each other, but there were six episodes that we agreed on. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad. So overall, like, we were pretty, like,
we were together. Never, like, too far. It was always usually within, like, 0.5 of each other.
Yeah, the only episode that we were, like, kind of far apart on was episode 18.
Yeah, there was one that you went so low.
No, I went high. That
you went
one
high?
I went 4.75 and you gave it a 4. There was one, though, you're right, that I'm...
That you went low and I went high. I remember because I was like, what? That was so low. But, like...
I'm trying to think. Like, which one did we do that? There was one where I gave a 3.75 and you gave a 4.5.
That's pretty big difference.
That was a pretty big difference. But we were never like, I too hated this episode and you loved it.
Yeah, I wasn't like a 2 or something. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even give anything below a 3, I think.
No, we never gave below a 3. That was the lowest score.
I can't wait for the day that I do. But...
Oh, season 2, you will. Season 2 is wild because it has a lot of like good stuff, but also some of the worst fucking shit.
Yeah.
People usually like, if you look up like rankings of seasons, season 2 is consistently the last.
I love some shit television.
But that's what makes like, that's why I like season 3 because it comes back hard.
Yeah.
So that's why like, but you need to watch season 2 to like appreciate, like, yeah.
Well, I can't wait. And that's what we're going to be doing next time you guys catch up with us. We're going to be doing recaps of season 2.
Yeah.
Season 2, episode 1.
Absolutely.
That's where you'll catch us, not next Monday, but in a few Mondays. And we'll make sure that you know on our social media.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're following us there.
Yeah. Like, follow, subscribe. We're going to keep updating Instagram. Maybe not daily during our hiatus.
Yeah. Not as much as we were, but we'll be posting some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And you guys seem to have been liking certain content, so we'll try and give you more of that.
Absolutely.
As we go along. We notice.
Yeah.
But keep in contact, and like we said, we'll be back very soon, but enjoy the rest of your summer, probably most of August. But
and we hope you spend your summer getting to know your neighbors.
Yeah, know your neighbors.